We also move now to our New Testament reading, which this morning is from one of Paul's letters, to the first letter to Timothy. It's chapter 2, and it's verses 1 to 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving should be made for everyone, for kings and for all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to know the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. We have a look at this text from 1 Timothy this morning. It seemed particularly apt of what the lectionary has served up. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that it nourishes us. I pray, Lord, help it to speak to our hearts and call us to action this morning for you. Amen. Wow. I wonder what is on your prayer list each week. Who and what do you choose to pray for? What makes the cut, what doesn't? Now, we know that as a church, from our summer survey that we did on discipleship, that a lot of us pray very regularly. In fact, a huge number of us pray on an almost daily basis. And I know that between all of us, we'll be covering a real wide range of topics. Perhaps a lot of bases will be covered by our prayers. But in our text today, I want to offer you one more specific group of people that you might like to add to your prayers if they are not on that list already. Now, I must admit, when I read the lectionary readings for this week, with all that is going on in our country, it made me smile to see an encouragement to pray for kings. And yes, by golly, does our King Charles III, does he need our prayers right now? As we were talking before the service, you know, he's in that place, isn't he, of having to take on this new public role and to be the king of the nation, head of state, while trying to mourn the loss of his mother. And as you've been following along on the news, like me, you must think, oh my days, if I had followed his schedule, I would be utterly exhausted. So we should be definitely praying for him. But what Paul is encouraging is actually a slightly wider concept that he has in mind, because when he asks us to pray for everyone, including kings and all who are in high positions, he's got a slightly different world in front of him, hasn't he? Because in the first century, kings were the political leaders of the day. They weren't simply figureheads as they are nowadays. They were the people running the show, weren't they? And their courts and the countries were all run by kings and queens, perhaps sometimes, much in the way that our governments do nowadays. And of course, it's important for us to pray for people in positions of authority in our own country. Yet, we're going to definitely start with Charles III and Liz Truss and other government ministers. But I suppose my encouragement is let's not stop there. We should pray for a whole wide range of people who have different positions of authority, shouldn't we? We should pray for CEOs running big companies. We should pray for people running small, local, independent businesses. We should pray for school leaders, for church or faith leaders, for people leading charities, for people leading in their own families, for anyone who finds themselves in a place of authority or high position, however relative the height of that position may be. Well, why do we do that? Why do we need to pray for those who are in these positions? Well, our passage gives us a good number of clues to look at. Firstly, we want to pray for these folks who have influence, because we want our world to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. That's what Paul says the purpose of doing this for. He says if we pray for them, we do so because we want the world to be a place that is quiet, peaceable, full of godliness and dignity. And we know, don't we, and especially if any of you are in positions of power or authority, we know that people who lead need our prayers. It is a tough gig to be in charge. And anyone who leads, we remember, is only human just like the rest of us, flawed, fallible, and in need of our support like any other. And we also recognise the responsibility that comes with power and position. All the people in those roles have an opportunity to make a difference and an impact on other people, whether that's in the immediate sphere of our home or our family or in our workplaces or perhaps even in national or international roles. So we need to pray not only that people would make good decisions and wise decisions in those roles, but they might make God decisions. That our leaders in every sphere might put into action some of God's intended plans and purposes for the world. It's what we might call the kingdom of God. Now, of course, when Paul is writing this, it's interesting because Christianity is just a tiny little minority. And I guess Paul, again, as he's writing this, has no idea of what the church, the way, as it was called then, would become. I guess he would have been as shocked as anyone to be told that the teaching of Jesus that he was sharing was going to shape Western culture and society as it developed over the following 2,000 years. Now, it's a bit strange, isn't it? Because although that is true and it has shaped who we are, strangely enough, I believe we're beginning to find ourselves more in a similar place to Paul. We are now more needing to pray because that great influence of the teaching of Jesus has waned. And we find ourselves increasingly on the margins in our society. The roots are still there, of course, of a Christian-shaped culture, but they're increasingly more deeply buried, or even perhaps being subtly rejected in places. You know, in the UK, only 1% of our population worship in Church of England churches on a Sunday, as you know we are doing this morning here, and we'll be down at church. And if you add up even all the other denominations of church going in the UK, 6% of the population is an optimistic outlook at how many people are worshipping on a Sunday. The church no longer has a central influence for many, perhaps even most. And that is why it is so important that we pray for our leaders, because our mission hasn't stopped. The kingdom, we're still here to transform the world with Jesus. And we need to pray because we know that prayer makes a difference. And we pray because we want these people who are leading to make good, God-shaped decisions for everyone so that that peaceable life may continue and continue to grow and develop. And of course, we're praying not because we want the church to have power, not because particularly we want Christians to have power, but we pray for God to have power and to reign in our nation and in our world. We pray for God's best plan for human flourishing to come to pass for all. We pray, firstly, because we pray for leaders because it's for the benefit of our world and one another. And the second reason that Paul offers us to pray for those folks is so that they will come to know Jesus themselves. Again, so that positive, loving influence is enjoyed by them in their life with all the benefits that that brings. But its knock-on is for the world. Remember, our vision here as a church is to be transformed by Jesus so that we can transform the world with Jesus. And that process of transformation only occurs when we bring people into that place of meeting Christ. Paul says of these prayers, he says, you know, it is right and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, but there's also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all. You see, God wants the whole world to know him. God wants the whole world to see the ultimate truth about the world that he offers. And that truth is the truth as uniquely revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus comes as the mediator, we read here. Now, not here to calm disagreements sort of mediator, but as the ultimate messenger, the ultimate media through which God will speak as a person, a form that we could understand. And Jesus is a person who gave himself for all of us so that we can know the Father in heaven. And we need to pray for our leaders and people in positions of authority to know this too. So who are you going to pray for? Who might you add to your list of prayers each day? Well, I think King Charles III and our government are a fantastic start, and they are good to pray for on a regular basis. But I want to challenge us to go a little deeper, to say, who do we know more locally who we could pray for? Perhaps you've got, like we do, children in school. Perhaps you could pray for your children's teachers. Perhaps you could pray for the head teacher of your children's schools or some of our local schools. Maybe you could commit to praying for your boss at work, or somebody you know who is leading in our local community, or perhaps someone who's leading within your family. And then choose them and then pray for them. You know, we know that prayer makes a difference and changes things. That's why we do it. So you might like to pray that these folks, a simple prayer saying, Lord, help them to make good God decisions, not just good decisions. Pray that the folks we've chosen will help things to flourish and have life wherever they are. Pray for them as they have to take hard decisions, the decisions that they know not everyone will agree with or follow along with. Pray that they might come to know the God who loves them through Jesus. So who are you going to commit to praying for in the weeks ahead? Amen.